is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the wonderful Sarah.
I'm excited for some weird news.
As am I. Today, we are talking about some fun weird news stories, and we're going to start with one that I think is particularly fun, especially if you're a dog lover, which I am more of a cat person, but I'm okay with dogs. I don't hate them. So I can be kind of excited about this, especially because this is about a dog museum, but that doesn't necessarily mean dogs are everywhere. You know, I could just kind of learn about them and not have to smell them or something. You know, I could just learn about dog related things.
Okay, so it's like, you don't just go in and there's actual live dogs.
Right.
It's more
yes.
about like the history of dogs
yes.
or the history of dog breeds or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly. It's not like a shelter. This is specifically the American Kennel Club Museum of the Dog, which has reopened in New York City. And it spent decades at a different location, but it has moved to Park Avenue in Midtown Manhattan.
Ooh.
So I guess it's just a
sounds fancy.
Fancier location.
Yeah.
And the museum's collection includes a terracotta dog paw print that dates back to the Roman Empire.
Hmm.
A dog-pulled cart from the Victorian era, an extensive array of canine fine art, amongst many other dog-related things.
Are we talking about canine fine art like dogs playing poker or art created by dogs?
Like dogs playing poker.
Okay, just
I mean,
checking.
There might be art created by dogs. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised. I know there's like art created by elephants and stuff. I'm sure there's, and like horses, so I'm sure there's other
I'm sure there's a dog artist out
art,
there somewhere.
I'm sure. If not, I'm sure there
it's
will be
It's not my
soon.
Dogs. They're not creative that way.
You never know. It might be hidden talent.
That's true. I've never actually tested them on this, you know, like given them a paintbrush and said, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes animals will paint if you just like, they just put paint on their feet or whatever and just have them move around, which I feel like is kind of cheating.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know.
Yeah.
I could do that.
But I was just going to say I could do that.
Yeah, it's just hand painting, finger painting.
Paw
painting. Also, there are, in the canine fine art area, there are painted dogs like Millie Bush, who belonged to former President George W. Bush. And many paintings like this, amongst others, adorn the wall, and they show just how prominent the beloved dog can be. The museum also incorporates other modern touches. There is an interactive kiosk for visitors to match their facial features to a dog breed.
So that's a slightly different take on, you know, dogs and owners starting to look alike.
Yes.
You can find out what kind of breed you should get in order to facilitate that
right,
looking alike.
Right, in order to just become one.
Yeah.
You can also swipe on their screens and learn about the AKC's 193 recognized breeds. Excuse me. And you can practice dog training with a virtual puppy, which seems like it would just be, I don't know, very frustrating because I can't even imagine how difficult that would be to train a dog.
I know people who are really good at it, but I don't know if training a virtual dog is helpful.
I'm not sure.
Wouldn't the virtual dog just be like programmed to do I don't know. Is it programmed to not listen to you?
I'm not sure. I mean, there used to be, when I was young, there used to be like different Barbie animal related computer games.
Nice.
So I've trained a dog in the whatever version of Barbie computer game that was.
Barbie veterinarian or something. Yeah. Or, you know, probably. Barbie the dog whisperer.
I know. I was great at that. So, well I mean, Barbie was great at that, but no. I controlled her movements. Also part of the museum is a space which will serve as a studio for the American Kennel Club TV, which I did not know they had, but it's a thing.
Hmm.
And really the backdrop of the museum is a library, and they have over 42,000 books for guests to learn more about different breeds or just dogs in general.
Interesting.
So if you want to read about dogs in a nice, I would what I assume would be a nice museum. The executive director, Alan Fossil, who is an art curator and appraiser, said the museum hopes to give visitors an understanding of the history of dogs and how they came to be in such different varieties. Also, the museum originally opened in 1982 at the old AKC headquarters on Madison Avenue, but due to limited space and inadequate financial support, the museum relocated, but it has since relocated again to its current location.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so it's moved.
So, yeah, if you think you know where the dog museum is, you should definitely check the address before you go, because it right. seems to move a lot.
You should Google it, because you might not actually know where it is.
That's right.
Now that the dog museum has found its way to its current home, it is reuniting with the AKC, and that is all under one roof. So I guess it didn't used to be connected to the AKC in the past.
Huh.
Also, Brandy Hunter, who is the Vice President of Public Relations and Communications for the American Kennel Club, says the club hopes the move will boost museum attendance and put the collection back on the world stage.
Was it on the world stage at one point?
I don't...
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just curious.
I guess...
I mean, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I guess it was at some point. Maybe in its original location, and then after its move, it wasn't. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty big collection.
Mm-hmm.
So... I would be interested. Again, not really as a dog person, I would still be interested. Brandy Hunter said, "We know how much New Yorkers love their dogs, and we're very excited to educate them more about their dogs and help them discover new breeds they've never heard of before." Overall, the museum's collection boasts 200 pieces that put Man's Best Friend on full display. Although it is a museum about dogs, you probably want to leave your dog at home. The museum is for humans only, but service animals are allowed inside.
Right. You know, on a side note, going back to something you said earlier, you said 193 recognized breeds,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like a lot, and also, like, not enough.
I agree.
There's so many dog breeds out there and more all the time. Right. I'm amazed by that.
I agree. I feel like those are the breeds that appear in, like, you know, the dog shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like there are more. I mean, there are mutts.
Yeah, yeah.
Those probably not counting those breeds. Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm.
Moving on to our next story. This is also an animal-related story, but this one is not quite as cheery as the dog museum.
Oh.
This
okay,
is actually
I'm ready.
Yeah. This is actually about a cat. So not to necessarily boost cat. I don't know, love of cats.
okay.
This is about a mountain lion,
mm-hmm.
which attacked a Colorado runner. However, the runner ended up defending himself, and he actually choked the mountain lion to death.
I heard about that. I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline somewhere about, you know, killed it with his bare hands.
Ooh, well, here we go, Sarah. We're going into it.
I'm okay.
So while the runner was trapped by sharp claws and the teeth of a mountain lion, he fought really hard for his life. He was able to break free and then choked the animal to death. And this is according to wildlife officials.
Wow.
The man was running by himself in the Horsetooth Mountain open space near Fort Collins, Colorado, when he heard something behind him. That's never how a good story starts.
No.
When he turned around, an 80-pound mountain lion attacked him. And again, that is according to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials. And the lion was young. But he bit the runner's face and wrist. The runner managed to break free and then killed the lion, of course, in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
The autopsy, I believe, of the animal confirmed that the animal had been suffocated. And the lion was apparently less than a year old. And he also tested negative for rabies, which is very good for the runner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty young lion. I'm not sure how that compares in size. I mean, I'm sure it's smaller than like a full-grown lion, but mm-hmm. I don't know how big that would be I don't know. Any mountain lion of any size would be absolutely terrifying. Yes. I would never want to run across that. I also don't think I would successfully suffocate a lion.
Sorry, run across that. That was a nice
thank you.
That was
thank
nice
you.
Pun. Good job.
Speaking of running, the runner did everything he could to save his life. And according to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Regional Manager, in the event of a lion attack, you need to do anything in your power to fight back, just as this gentleman did. The runner did suffer serious injuries. He was taken to a hospital, but since then he has been released. So good for him.
Okay, so he's going to be okay.
Yes, thankfully.
The mountain lion, not so much.
Yeah, no, mountain lion's not coming back.
if it does, yee.
Oof, that would he would definitely
zombie
be
mountain lion.
Oh, that would be really bad.
Yeah, that's a different show.
That's yeah,
that's a different podcast.
Yeah, right. I'll have to start the zombie podcast. Just find a bunch of zombie related stories. The trails at Horsetooth Mountain Open Space were closed to the public after the rangers encountered more mountain lion activity in the area. The rangers will be reassessing the safety of the trails, of course, after this incident. And mountain lion attacks are not common in Colorado. It is unfortunate that lions' hunting instincts were triggered by the runner, and that's according to the wildlife manager for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And the manager continued, this could have been a very different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
It definitely can. And we're going to take a quick break before we continue about the mountain lion attack and the, I guess, the heroic defense by the runner.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts. Past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast.
Is it really welcome back when we're talking about, you know? Like, welcome back to the
please,
podcast
please
of
enter.
Death.
Let me tell you my tales. but yes, let me tell you my tales.
Yes.
We are continuing to talk about the mountain lion attack that occurred in Colorado. It does not necessarily end like you thought it would because the runner was able to defend himself. And again, as I mentioned before the break, the manager of this wildlife area did note this could have been a very different outcome, which, yes, it definitely could have. However, fewer than 20 people have been killed in North America by a mountain lion, and that's in more than 100 years.
Right.
So it's not super common, which is good. So you don't have to just freak out,
right.
But just be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, if you are an outdoor enthusiast, just know where you're going. Are
yes.
there what wildlife is common in that area and what precautions should you be taking?
Yeah, very true. And again, I mean, if you hear something around you, if you do ever end up in some sort of situation like that with a wild animal, defend yourself. I mean, with a mountain lion, it's not like an animal that you can just scare off.
Right.
So please beware. Also in Colorado, 3 people have been killed and 16 have been injured in mountain lion attacks, and that is since 1990. The
or
lions,
just don't move to Colorado.
Yeah, just be careful. the lions tend to avoid humans in general.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, mountain lions are kind of everywhere across the U.S. So, I mean, they're like in California and mm-hmm. obviously in Colorado, and so they're pretty common.
And there's one in my sister's house.
Yeah.
It's dead.
What? Oh.
Oh, my brother-in-law.
Oh. I was going to say,
it's
like
taxidermied.
A pet?
No, it's taxidermied.
Like, do they have, like, the sort of bear rug thing going on?
No, it's actually the physical lion.
The
like,
whole
just
thing?
The whole thing. Yeah, taxidermied. And I appreciate it more than a lot of my brother-in-law's family. They have them, like, taking down a deer. You know, taxidermy is
wow.
like, actual, like, scenes. His is just sitting there very demurely.
I think that would take up a lot of room in your house.
It does. It does.
Is that just like in an entryway?
They've lived several places. Sometimes it's in his office. Sometimes it's in various places. I'm actually not sure where it is in their current house. Possibly the garage.
You know, I don't really think I would like that. You know, it's nighttime.
You walk out.
Your house, you just feel something furry and yeah, no.
Yeah.
Just see the light reflect off the eyes. No, thank you. Not my jam. oof.
Well, let me just warn you now. If you fly into Montana into the Missoula airport, there's taxidermied animals in the baggage claim.
What? So. Like in the airport, or people are just shipping their taxidermied animals?
No, in the airport, decoration. Whew, yeah. So
No, I don't. I think I'll be avoiding that.
And I believe there is a mountain lion taking something down. I can't remember what it is.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So not only did they have to taxidermy the mountain lion, they have to taxidermy the being attacked animal.
Yeah.
I think it's a deer.
No, taxidermy is not really my decoration of choice.
It's not your jam.
No, probably not. Not in my house. The lions will just be outside.
That's right.
They'll just be surrounding my house, but not in it. Also, in a Facebook post, this comes from the Colorado governor, Jared Polis, and he said that although the runner was able to kill the lion with his bare hands, others should try to stay away from lions and back away slowly if possible.
Do not try this at home,
no,
people.
No, just as I will be avoiding lions, whether taxidermied or alive, I will not be coming across them. And the Colorado governor also added in a joke, don't mess with Colorado trail runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't, whenever I hear stories like this, I cannot imagine, I try to picture how I would react, and mostly it's just in terror.
I would just die. Oh. I just don't, I mean, my hands are so small. Like,
right. I mean, I know you're supposed to curl into the fetal position, try to protect your vital organs, hands over the back of your neck, those sorts of things, but you're still going to have a lot of damage inflicted on you.
Yeah, I mean,
if not death.
Even though this man was able to defend himself, he definitely had a lot of damage and a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
So it grabbed his head.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is how they take down prey, but yeah.
Yep.
No, thank you. No. I would not stand a chance. Also, I would never be trail running anyway, so.
So you're fine. Just stick to the treadmill.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to our next story where I'm not going to die by lion.
What are you going to die by this time?
Well, actually, this is a really interesting story, not about someone dying, but about a law in Canada that before being scrapped, was used to charge someone. This is about a woman who was charged with witchcraft before Canada scrapped an old law. So Canada has repealed a number of so-called zombie laws that remained on the books after they were found to be unconstitutional, redundant, or just sort of old and weird. One law.
I wonder if we have zombie laws.
I don't
know. I want to know.
Potentially. I mean, I don't know.
Or
Canada.
We did. You know,
right.
I'm not saying.
Yes.
It'd be interesting either way. We did, or we still do.
We probably did, but yeah, I don't know. Interesting that Canada still kind of had them.
Mm-hmm.
One law that was removed from Section 365 of the Canadian Criminal Code.
Oh, that's my favorite.
It's my favorite code. That's the law that makes it illegal to practice fake witchcraft.
Apparently. Oh, you can practice real rich?
Yeah.
Real witchcraft? I can't say that.
That's Section 366. as the law goes, this has it's pretty interesting. Everyone who fraudulently pretends to exercise or to use any kind of witchcraft, sorcery, enchantment, or conjuration undertakes for a consideration to tell fortunes or pretends from his skill or in knowledge of an occult or crafty science to discover where or in what manner anything that is supposed to have been stolen or lost may be found. Anyway, if you're practicing fake witchcraft.
Or crafty science, which is my favorite
science.
Phrase out of that.
Or telling fortunes, enchantments, things like that.
Right. But only if it's fake. Like, if you really can find things for people, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But,
well, this is also, it seems like it's trying to avoid people from being swindled.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's good. I'm sure this used to be a more common occurrence in the past, in a Canadian past. But
Canada of yore.
Right. but this is made to help people not get swindled. However, despite the government's labeling that the law is archaic and should be erased, an Ontario woman was charged with fraudulent witchcraft, fortune-telling specifically, just 2 days before the law was eliminated.
So she was charged. Her. Was she sentenced? Or, I mean, did they take away the charge after the law was removed? How'd that work?
Well, the tale continues. The police said that allegedly a local woman who maintains an alias and holds herself out to be a self-proclaimed spiritualist medium, or then they use another word that I'm not even going to try to say, attempted to elicit funds from a resident in return for protection from some kind of potential danger likely to occur on this resident's family. So she basically falls exactly into this law. The accused woman, who is 33-year-old Tiffany Butch, goes by the nickname White Witch of the North.
Nice.
She says that's a misnomer. She said people...
So it's not her own name for herself?
No. People proclaim me a witch here and give me a nickname, but I'm not a witch. I'm a psychic. That is according to Tiffany. So, I mean, I guess she's a psychic, so... She's not the Witch of the North, but whatever, maybe the Psychic of the North. A spokesperson for the police told news outlets that they used the most applicable laws on the books at the time of the alleged offense, which would be this law. And it was reported when two other Ontario women were charged posing as witches. A person convicted of the crime faces up to 6 months in prison or a $2,000 fine or both. So this woman, Tiffany, is not the only one to be charged with this law. Again, other people have been charged, specifically two other Ontario women.
What's going on in Ontario?
I don't know. Just a place for psychics. I'm not sure.
Fraudulent psychics.
Right, fraudulent psychics. And the law has been in Canada since 1892. It was originally a British statute from 1735... that then repealed an earlier British law classifying witchcraft as a felony after centuries of witch hunts in modern Europe. So I guess it's not trying to say that witchcraft is outlawed, since there were witchcraft, you know, hunts for witches and everything, but saying if you do it to swindle people, then it's bad.
Right.
So I guess maybe at the time that was like revolutionary.
Right. And we'll just fine you and jail you instead of burning you or
You know,
tying your thumbs to your toes and, and throwing you in a lake.
It'll be a different kind of, it's a slightly different number code, but we'll still be going after you.
That's just interesting that 2 days before.
I know. That's bad timing.
But also just interesting that there was even a case and then weird
multiple
news.
Cases, I guess.
Yeah.
The law remained unchanged in Canada over the centuries, but for the addition of the word fraudulently, which was added in the 1950s. Interesting. Also, when I read this article, from that time, Tiffany Butch has been summoned to appear in court. The news reports...
Sorry.
Not fraudulently. The news reports that she denies the allegations and believes she was framed by other psychics.
Oh, no.
Of course. Nice. The other ones that are coming after her.
If she's
her.
Psychic, shouldn't she have seen that coming?
Yeah. I mean, I guess she was... I guess if that's true, she really was swindling them because she wouldn't have helped that family much at all.
Right.
But I wonder if... I wonder if she'll go to court and then just accuse... It'll be like another witch hunt. She'll just accuse other psychics of being fraudulent and taking other people's money. I'm not sure. I feel like this could snowball very quickly. Also, can you be charged with something after the law has been removed?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but she was charged with it before law was removed. True. But then it's no longer
could
on
she be
the...
convicted of it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We'd have to talk to a Canadian lawyer.
We can find one of those somewhere.
I'm sure.
The internet has everything these days. Maybe Amazon. Who knows?
I'd like to order a Canadian lawyer, please.
Maybe I'll have to follow up with this story and see if there's any conclusion. But since my time of reading this, she has been summoned to appear in court. Yes, summoned.
Sorry, I don't get out much.
And with that bad joke, we'll be taking a break. And we'll be right back to talk about some more weird news stories.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing on with our weird news stories. This one is, this is just funny. this is about a grandma who fought off attackers with a child scooter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a Razor scooter or like a, like what?
You know, they didn't say, they just said child scooter.
That could be, you know, like I'm picturing there's a difference between a teenager's scooter, yes, and a three-year-old scooter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as opposed to like the ones that have three wheels for little kids.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like the really popular ones that we see on the streets now that you can rent.
Right.
I forget what those are called, like the bird scooters or
I'm not sure what they're called.
Some popular brand. Not the ones that you rent, but her, I believe just her child's scooter.
At any rate, go grandma.
I know, seriously. So police say that a Texas woman used her granddaughter's scooter. I know, we're not doing Florida man, so we're gonna do Texas woman. to defend herself against a pair of machete wielding men.
Oh, a pair.
Yes.
Dang, go
and
grandma.
They were wearing clown masks.
Oh geez,
which is even more frightening.
Stop it, people.
I know, just the, do you remember the clown scares?
Yes, a couple,
oh, that
years
was terrible.
Was that a year ago, 2 years ago?
I feel like it happened twice, actually. Might have been,
well, I think it's happened like multiple times over the
it's
decades
true. Yeah,
you know, like there was the clown scare of the 80s and there was but
along with disco and the clown scares, right. I remember that. Oh yeah, those were terrible times. Well, I hope they're not just masks.
You,
so they weren't
born.
I mean I'm just they don't know that.
Sorry.
Just going off of what I hear. History has taught me anything. The clown scares of the 80s. Everyone knows that, Sarah. I didn't have to be there.
Oh, goodness. We're a little loopy.
Anyway, clown masks, clown scares, very frightening. But they were only wearing masks, so they weren't fully clothed as clowns, which is,
okay,
I guess, slightly more encouraging. Still terrible, though. And they were wielding machetes, which is awful.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happened? They had machetes. They were wearing clown masks. And they were trying to rob this woman and her husband.
Okay. So were they in their home? Was this a home invasion? Well, there was a scooter, so they had to be somewhere.
Right. So they were outside.
Okay.
And so I guess outside near scooters.
What were they trying to take?
I guess they were just trying to take, like, their wallets. This doesn't seem...
Trying to figure out how well planned this was.
I mean, it doesn't seem super well planned.
Oh, they had masks.
They had
and
masks.
Machetes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just something they keep in their trunk?
I don't know. When the robbing bug just...
Right.
I don't know. Just comes along. So they were trying to rob this woman and her husband. And the woman's name is Aretha Cardinal. And her husband is Joseph Nelson. And they were in the driveway of their home. And that's when the masked men approached them, and then they placed a machete up to Nelson's throat. So this is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So they had him with the machete to his throat, and then authorities say that Nelson was able to wrestle himself away from the machete, and he was able to take the machete out of the man's hand, while Cardinal, the grandma, grabbed the child's scooter that was nearby in the driveway, and she used it to strike the other man. So they were like... He was taking on the one guy with the machete, and then she took on the other guy with the scooter.
Good, yeah.
Which is,
hey,
I mean, that's
anything
like
can
marriage
be a weapon,
goals.
I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very impressive. The men, this just gets better. The men then tried to run away,
well,
but the
sure.
couple chase after them, and they smash their vehicle's window with the scooter.
So probably not a plastic one.
That's true. I guess, I feel like the Razor scooters are pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I think you could probably use that
you
to smash a window.
Some damage. Yeah.
I mean, I also feel like that because you have like the joint between the handle of the scooter and like the part with the wheels, you can get some good swing into it.
Sure.
You know, I
yeah.
feel like you have some good momentum going.
There's some physics happening there.
But I also love that they didn't just let them get away. They chased
no,
after
them.
No,
they're like, you just... She was like, you just put a machete to my husband's throat. We're not letting that pass.
Right. She was like, I hate clowns too.
Right.
So we're coming after you.
I hate clowns and I hate machetes.
She probably likes scooters a lot more now after this.
I would think so.
Yeah. And also they
she
were
should
in
get
a car.
A scooter sponsorship.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Or just she should like enshrine a scooter in her house or something.
That too.
Just to remember.
Yeah.
She should at least keep the scooter for self-defense. But also, I love that the men were just running away on foot. They are running away in their car, and they still went after them.
Right.
So this is an awesome couple. So they smashed the vehicle window with the scooter. And the good news is that the two suspects, the men who tried to rob them, have been jailed on aggravated robbery charges. So thank goodness for that. I don't know. I mean, I guess that means there are just fewer clowns out there who are going to try and scare us. Right. I'm not ready for that.
Take note, clowns.
Yeah, yeah, you remember. I have a scooter by my bedside. Right. So don't you dare come inside.
You know how some people keep bats in their bedroom or you know, baseball bats, not like flapping bats.
I keep a really heavy scooter. Razor. There's a scooter right by my bedside.
And I know how to use it.
I've read this story. I know how it's done. And hopefully these suspects, these men never try to rob someone again, at least not a heavily armed grandma.
Yeah.
So good for this couple. I am really glad they deterred these robbers. And I'm just encouraged that if something happens to me, I can fight it off. Maybe not a mountain lion, but I don't think I stand a chance. But maybe men in clown masks. If there's a scooter nearby, I might stand the chance. You know, maybe if there was a scooter in the wild with the mountain lion, maybe I would be able to fight it off, or at least scooter away.
I think that's a better plan.
Yeah, probably.
Scooter away, Heidi. Scooter away. Yeah.
With my size, that's definitely the better plan. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next Weird News podcast.